right. Well, we thank God for this opportunity. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, all right? Luke chapter 15. Today will be part 1, next week part 2, and the following part 3. We'll be dealing with, we'll be going through the whole chapter in 15 of Luke, book of Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to number 7 today. Let's stand, all right, as we prepare our hearts to receive God's word. This is a very, very wonderful passage on the love of God in using different analogies, different parables. And I want us to actually see how it relates to us and how we can use it in our lives. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and so on until we finish at verse number 7. All right, are we ready? Luke 15, verse number 1. Let me read first, then you read. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Verse 2. Verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, and when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6. Let's read together verse 7. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's have a prayer. Let's pray. Father, even as we open our eyes today to your word, we ask you to open our eyes, because there is no way, Lord, in our human flesh can our eyes be open to behold spiritual things. Lord, I pray today that you help us to see your heart in this, that there is even joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Lord, help us to see the value of an individual, Lord, in the eyes of the Heavenly Father, in the eyes of the King of the universe, in the eyes of the Creator of heaven and earth. What value, Lord, you place on us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to see it from your perspective. And God, if there's areas in our lives that you want us to change as a result of this truth that you're going to teach us, help us, give us strength. Lord, we need your grace. We need you to guide us to understand how we need to change so that our lives can be consistent with your revealed word. We thank you. Speak in and through thy servant. Speak to all our hearts, and may your name be glorified in the end. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Okay, I'll just go through quickly. And we're going to be talking about the value of man in the eyes of God. Okay, the value of man in the eyes of God. The Lord Jesus' ministry and love to the people oftentimes automatically draw people to him. Okay, that's just a starter, but you know, as Christians, our lives ought to be shining light to others. Amen? That people will automatically be drawn to us. Now, and it is consistent with the love of God and the drawing grace of God. Jesus oftentimes welcomed anyone and everyone who would want to come to him. However, there were also Pharisees and scribes who criticized him for mingling, fellowshipping, and eating with sinners. Okay? Now, he was criticized for welcoming sinners. Look at verse 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The publicans and the sinners were rejected by Pharisees. They were the rejects of society. Okay? But they wanted to come to Jesus. And when Jesus welcomed them, the Pharisees and the scribes were not very happy. You see, the Jewish, there was a clear prejudice in their minds of the Pharisees and scribes. They have always looked down upon these people. They were considered the bad fruits of society. And the Pharisees and the scribes didn't want to have anything to do with them. Okay? The prejudice against these people was so deep that they even criticized and ostracized anyone who would go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is it not true today, sometimes Christians, not Christians, but generally people, we all have prejudice of some sort against certain people or certain groups of people. And when that happens, and people, even Christians, will tend to separate, and sometimes they say, hey, don't play. And sometimes in our mindset, there was one particular lady from another church, okay, not in this church, but another church, who shared with me that there was one time there was a teenager who came into the congregation, and the teenager was wearing, like, I think nose ring or earrings, and you know, those torn jeans and all that. And I did come to church, and the parents of the other teens would say, hey, make sure you don't mix with him. Oh, that's so hurt. The teen, he never came back. And sometimes there's a prejudice that is in us with regards to, I'm not just targeting teenagers, but generally anyone. Okay, a person may have a problem, and he comes in, and when we are Christians with prejudice, the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 1, we become inconsistent with the principle of the gospel. Because the Bible says, have not the faith, don't possess the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. Okay? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, what if a drug addict comes into our midst today, or a teenage, I use the word gangster loosely, right? What a teenage gangster comes in, or a single mother comes in, or an addicted gambler, how would we as a church respond? The church is not for good people. Amen. The church is when it's made out of people who have been saved by the grace of Christ. But what if these people who supposedly have that kind of background comes into ambassador? What do we do? What do we do? According to the Bible, Jesus received them. Okay, we should receive the individual the way the Lord Jesus Christ received him, loving the sinner but hating the sin. That is, we will welcome the individual the way they are, but do all we can to help them get out of the situation. Amen? We cannot condone the sin that they have, but we still need to love the person. And some people of different camps of teaching say, no, you cannot. Once you, God hates the sin and the person. If God hates the person, he wouldn't have chosen to die for them. It's the sin that separates. And so Christ died for the sin so that he can save that individual. Okay? So we are to receive that people. The genuine meaning of this principle, he came to set the captives free, becomes clear. We are not to have prejudice in our mind. But the Pharisees and the scribes' thinking and value is different from the Lord Jesus. They despise these people. So how did Jesus actually respond in this passage? Verse 3, notice how Jesus responded. He says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the Lord Jesus never really dealt with them severely, directly. And I'm sure, do you realize, even in the parable, he did deal with them, but in an indirect way. And I believe this. The Lord said this in verse 3, not only for the leaders of those days, but for our learning today. To teach us what it means, what is the heart of God for an individual, irregardless of what kind of person his background may have been. Okay? So, looking at verse 4 and 5, Jesus' reply was this, which of you, having 100 sheep, if you lost one, would not you leave the 99 behind and go after the one? Question for you, would you? Would you, if you lose one of the 100 sheep, you will leave the 99 and go after the one? After we expound a different aspect of this particular parable, the question is, the first question we ask ourselves in this, why was the sheep lost? Why did the sheep get lost? Anyone? Why do you think this sheep got lost? Have you thought of that before as you read this parable? One sheep was lost, but why did it get lost? Anyone? This side. Okay, this side. Why did the sheep get lost? Sorry? He is weak. Okay, this side. Why did the sheep get lost?
Curious.
He was curious, okay. He was curious. What is the nature of sheep? They like to go, huh? The sheep is distracted. Sheep is distracted, it goes astray. I was studying and thinking, and one word came to my mind, the sheep was stupid. Why do I say that? The word stupid means a lack of understanding. You're not scolding someone. Children do not use this on anyone. Okay, but the word stupid means lacking in understanding. Now, the sheep, like many, would be lured away from the herd. So there's many, many sheep. And then, you know, sometimes these sheep will kind of wander off, perhaps being curious, perhaps being distracted by certain things, by the greener pastures, by the fresh field of alfalfa. You know what's alfalfa? Who knows what's alfalfa? Algae in another... alfalfa, you know alfalfa? Huh? Yeah, you know, right? Okay. Veggie, okay. But a field of veggie, okay. All right? And so the sheep will go and decides to go after it. Slowly but surely, the sheep is led by its own lack of understanding, lack of wisdom, away from where they should be. Okay? Now, there are some people in this world, you think about that, when I was thinking through this, there are some people in this world, even in this church right now, that because of your own lack of understanding and wisdom, are being led away by the things of this world, by the principles and the philosophies of this world. And they are slowly led away. Children are especially vulnerable. Okay? Teenagers as well, because you are developing a new way of thinking, abstract thinking, as you grow older in 13, 14 years. You begin to challenge certain things. And so when your friend have this, you go for that. When your friends have that, you go for that. And slowly you begin to be lured away. Now these are people who may not intentionally want to go away from the straight and narrow way, but they are get lured away from this world. Does that make sense? So these are the unintentional strayers. People who kind of just get led away by this world. The sinners and the publicans perhaps are such people whereby they perhaps were merely following their own lives as they thought, and as a result they became lost. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. As an application for us, just as an aside, don't just follow the things of life. Seek the Lord first. Alright, teenagers, young children, as you grow up, seek the Lord first. Where you want to go, what you want to do, always put God first. And you will find, you always find the right way. I'll say this, anyway, listen, anyway, away from the life of God, the life of the church, the word of the Bible, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is lostness. Anytime you move away from God, the Bible, the truth that you've learned in Christ, and the local church teaching, and you become lost. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. David says, look, I am gone astray. You know, if you read verse 1 of Psalm 119, it's a totally different scenario. David says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. I really love your word. But by the end of the 176 verses, the last verse says, God, I'm lost. Oh, please seek me, because I love your word. When you walk astray from what God says to be truth, it's always lostness. You know why? Because the Bible says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. When we move away from that, we'll always be lost. Our decisions will always be lostness. So this group of people is lost. So in response to this, the Lord Jesus Christ gives this parable. In this parable, we want to understand what is the Lord Jesus driving at. He says in verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, that's how we talk about it, won't you do all you can to search for the sheep? In verse 5, when he found it, he would put on his shoulders rejoicing. He asked them firstly, would you as a shepherd, when you've lost your sheep, leave the 99 and go and search for the one? Some, you know, some people may say, Brother Johnny, come on, 100 sheep, lose one, I still got 99, not so bad. How many of you think like that? I got 99 more sheep. What's the problem? You know, one sheep. The most I eat. What did you say? Businessman. Okay, businessman mentality. I got 100 sheep. I lose one. Big deal. I got 99 more. Don't worry about that. But you look at the parable. Why is the Lord Jesus so particular about one? Why is he so particular about one? I want us to understand the value of this lesson. After I go and expound based on God's word, how does God see one sheep? God places an infinite value on the soul of one individual. that when society despises them, God looks for them. God places an infinite value of the Sovish One. The soul, right there, the soul is not a dumb sheep who have gone astray only. God sees a lost sheep as an invaluable individual. Every one of us was lost at one time in our life. God came looking for us. Amen. Amen, God, we were lost at one time in our lives. God came looking for us. How many of you were looking for God the moment you were born? God! You know, when the first cry, no! You were just doing your own thing. Understand this, we are infinitely valuable to God. The other day, my family and I, we were just in SSC. We were just taking dinner. I don't think SSC is a good place to take dinner. It's so expensive. So anyway, and we were just standing there. I'm not saying it, we were sitting down. And we saw this girl, probably about 10 years old, 11 years old. And she was just walking up and down. You know, just walking up and down and grunting. It was grunting. She's about 10, 11 years old. As she was walking up and down, sometimes she would inappropriately put her hands in places in the body that would be indecent, all right? So ultimately, probably her belly button could be seen, and she wasn't really taking care of herself. As she was walking up and down, it's about 9 plus, and then I just walking up and down, decided she's probably autistic, you know, and she was just walking up and down. And you were thinking, what would you be thinking if you were there? If you see such a girl just walking up and down, you know, grunting, really, literally grunting, something like that, and just grunting, walking up and down, you know, pulling up whatever, you know, inappropriately. What would you think what would you think if you were sitting there looking at the girl? What would you think? Okay, some thoughts would cross our minds, but would we merely ask, what kind of girl like that one? Or some people would say, hey, the girl quite like that one. Common Singaporean thinking, right? How come the girl would, put on her skirt, lah, why like that? You know, that kind of thing. We would think, some people may think, hey, where's the parents? And we couldn't find it. We didn't see the parents. She followed a group of people, but then, I don't know, if those are the parents didn't really care, because as she was walking, the parents was walking this way, then she kind of stopped and walked another way. And if those are the parents that we thought were the parents, maybe they're used to it. I was sharing with my family, I said, it could be that they're so used to this kind of behavior, they just kind of, you walk away, never mind. Anyway, we'll still find out afterwards. You realize Jesus died for her? No, that really, the Lord Jesus died for her. As much as she may have that kind of behavior, Jesus still died for her. I want us to understand from this passage, and one other passage, the value of one individual to God. Number one, the value of the individual is seen in the mystery of being lost. And this is a little bit abstract, but just follow along with me. The Bible says in verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, if he lose one of them, how many of you have lost something before? Most of us probably have lost something before. Can you remember, when you lost something, what is your response immediately after that? You try to find it, but how many of you panicked? No one panicked. Quite steady. we all agree that there are varying degrees of feeling about being lost, we'd agree that there will be some sort of lost feeling, that you will never come back. Oh, I lost. Some will say, oh yeah, lost. How many of you would say things like, lost, oh, no choice, really cannot find one? But there will still be that feeling of lostness. Does it make sense? I don't know. Something is lost. It's lost. We had a voucher for a Delifrance meal and a $10 Bangawan Solo voucher recently. Okay, we were so busy, we forgot the expiry date. And so my wife SMS me and said, sorry, did you? We expired. We lost a meal and $10 voucher from Bangawan Solo. We lost it. Initially, it was that pinch. I just leave it. But you know, initially, there was that lostness. When there's a landslide or a flood, and then maybe there's a family of 10, and one of the 10 is missing, would not we do all we can to live the night at home and go after the one that's missing? Isn't that what they do? I think in Mersing tragedy last year, was last year, I think it must seem. It was a boat tragedy. The boat was overloaded and all that, choppy waters. And I think there were one or two persons missing. I cannot remember the whole story. But after all the people who have been rescued, then they were still going out to try to rescue the one or the two lost at sea. When Jairus went missing one time, can Jairus go missing? Yes, he did. One time. I didn't ask him about this before I share this, okay? So please don't make fun of him. Okay. But Jairus, he was pretty small at that time. And so we thought, how many of you remember, there's a popular shop at Admiralty MRT, let's say, many, many years ago, right? So we were at a popular, looking around, browsing around. The children were reading some of the storybooks and all that. And suddenly, hey, where's Jairus? Jairus was about 2+3, I think. And so when Jairus went missing when he was small, so we thought he wandered away by himself in the other parts of the popular shop. So we went around looking for him. Alright, kind of looking for him. He's pretty small, but like that. But here, probably. No, here? No? But, you know, about here. But so it was short. And so, couldn't find him inside. And guess what we did? You all stay inside. There was who else? Jeremiah and Joanna. You all stay inside here. And I stayed inside to continue the search. But Lydia ran out to try to search for her in the MRT station. And then she was looking. Guess what? She couldn't find her outside. Him outside. him, not her. Him, it's him. All right? And then after a while, there was one lady who was very observant and said, what, auntie? Excuse me, are you looking for a little boy? Yeah. He actually, you know, the MRT would close and open, right? The doors, right? He actually went under and went into the MRT station. How did you find out after that? He was inside, wandering around inside the MRT station. Amen. See, even God protected him, otherwise he won't be here today. But he, you know the MRT, right? He walked underneath, he climbed in, it's like... What we did was, we left the other children inside there, and we went after the one that was lost. It was missing. It was lost. So Lydia ran out. Why did we run out? Because we loved him. There's value in Jairus. Amen? You guys all. Amen? There's value in us. That's why God came looking for us. Amen? There is value. I'm not here to give you a pep talk. This is God's heart. Do you realize there's another dimension to the word lost? When I read it, you know what's the second dimension? Lost, the feeling of lostness. But the loss, when you lose a sheep, in the Greek word there, it literally means destroy, to die, to mar, perish. In other words, in the mind of the shepherd, listen to this, when the sheep goes astray, you know where the shepherd usually finds the lost sheep? Drowned, fallen off a cliff. He gets stuck in the fence because he wanted to eat the grass, but he gets stuck in the fence. And many times a sheep would, in reality, hurt itself. Does it make sense? And when you understand from the Lord Jesus' heart, when a person gets lost, he not only gets lost, he will hurt himself. He will, according to the Greek meaning, he will perish. You know, many shepherds have found their sheep perishing. That's what the word means, lost. It doesn't just mean lost, it means to perish. What if the escalator wasn't working? Thank God his leg, the time at this, his leg wasn't very... You didn't know how to use the escalator, so thank God. Otherwise, we'd be finding him in Tanah Merah or something, you know. And even there, he probably don't know what's happening. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The meaning of the word lost means the ship is perishing. Or you know what? Sometimes even... The shepherds may have found this sheep in the mouth of wild animals, eaten. And if nothing is done to find this lost sheep, the end of this individual will be final. Gone. That is the heart of God. The mystery of lostness. God in his heart knows, if I don't look for this guy, this person, the end will be perishing. Number one. The value of the individual is seen in the mystery of lostness. Number two, the value of the individual is seen in the effort that the shepherd puts in to find the lost sheep. The Bible says in chapter 15 and verse number 4, does not live the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost. Number one, notice there's a concentration of effort. He leaves the 99. You guys are okay. You stay here. And I'm going to concentrate all my efforts to look for that one. The concentration of effort. When there was a sinking of the ferry, I think I mentioned just now, those who were found were left at the port by the soldiers, but the divers went back into the choppy waters to look for it. That person. The concentration of effort to look for one. Question, how concentrated is our effort to win the loss? How concentrated is our effort to win our loved ones, our neighbors? Number two, secondly, there's a going after that which is lost. A going after. I want to read a few verses, and I want us to see what Jesus did to indicate he's going after the lost. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. The Lord Jesus, after he prayed in 35, the disciples came, hey, Lord, many people are coming to look for you. Verse 38, Jesus says what? And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns. They are preached there also. For therefore came I forth. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Question for you, why? Why did Jesus say, let us pass over to the other side? Do you know why? You know what happens in Mark chapter 5, my favorite passage? There was a demoniac over there. There was someone possessed with the devil over there. You know what Jesus says? Let's go to the other side. Perhaps, some people say, Rajani, he wouldn't have known. Perhaps he may have known. There is a demoniac in Mark chapter 5 that needs me over there. Let's go across that river, or rather the sea. Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. John 4 verse 4, Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. Why? It's interesting the phrasing of this verse. He must needs go through Samaria. Why must he needs go through Samaria? Because there was a Samaritan woman. Oh, bless God, he must needs come to earth to find me, find you. He must needs come. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The concentration of effort. There is a going after. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12, the Bible says, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep, they are so scattered. You know what? Jehovah is saying, look, just as a sheep would run after sheep, shepherd would run after sheep, they are lost. God says, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver out of places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Principle number three there, in the effort. Thirdly, there's an attitude, I'm not going to give up until I find it. The value of this sheep is seen in the determination of the shepherd to ensure the sheep is found. You know why? Because there is danger in delay. The longer the shepherd delays his search, you will not know what's going to happen to that individual. Oh, there's so many times when we should be going after, when a person comes to Christ, or maybe comes to church for the first time, hears the gospel for the first time, and then after that, there's no what we call the follow-up. You know what happens? After a while, there's a cooling of intentions. Things get distracted, and we lost that person. In 1981, a church that goes soul winning on Sundays went to Upper Paya Lebar, where someone was staying on the 15th floor. The person was at home at that time. The knock was about 2 p.m. The deacon from that particular church shared the gospel with the individual. And I didn't know what happened after, but it did make an impact. So when the individual actually heard the gospel when he was at Upper Paya Lebar, interestingly, another friend who lived in Topayu brought him to church, the same church that knocked on this door when he was in Upper Paya Lebar. That individual got saved. And today he's serving God. That was a concentration of effort. These people may just be faithfully going out. But one soul got saved. We need to realize God goes after us. Did you know that? Did you know God goes after us? Because no man seeketh after God. But the value of the man is how much God himself sends people out. How many missionaries have died in the field trying to be the hand of God for some of these people. He will not give up until he finds the sheep that he wanted to find. That's the value of the individual to God, is seen in the effort the shepherd gives. Number three, the value of the individual is also seen in the rejoicing after the find is made. In Luke 15, verse 5 to 7, there's 3 points. Number one, there's personal rejoicing. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know how heavy is a sheep, generally? How heavy is a sheep? Have you carried a sheep before? Sheep is not light, you know. You know how heavy is a sheep? How heavy is a sheep? Anyone has been shepherds before? Sorry? Yeah, correct, correct. How heavy is one sheep? Anyone? As heavy as Jaira. Okay. I need to ask him. All right. So it's what? I don't know how heavy. The sheep is heavy. Okay. But you know what? As he carries a heavy sheep back, you know, I don't know what condition the Bible now says. Just that he found the sheep and he was rejoicing. There's personal rejoicing. Number two, there's also corporate rejoicing. The Bible says in verse 6, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and sing unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Corporate rejoicing. But you know, the most wonderful one is this heavenly rejoicing. Jesus actually made it clear to the Pharisees, look, you guys may despise this sheep that is lost, but I can tell you, if he turns to Christ, the whole heaven go mad. Amen? As rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repenteth. More than 99 that don't think they need repentance. In other words, God's heart is for those people who are broken and say, God, I need you. And you know what Jesus says? If I find that sheep, the whole heaven will rejoice. That's heavenly rejoicing. The whole heaven rejoices when one soul comes back to God. Point number four, I'm going through this because I want to highlight one point at the end. The value of the soul is seen in the comparison of this world and one soul. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? You know what Jesus is saying? Have you ever considered it? What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Lord Jesus is telling his disciples the value of one soul. It is the combined net worth of the entire world's possession equals to one soul. That is the estimation of God on one person. One person. No wonder God loved us so much that he was willing to give up his all. Because in his mind, that one person is so very important that nothing less than my own life for that person is sufficient. There was a great American hero. His name is Elijah Lovejoy. How many of you know Elijah Lovejoy? Yeah, Elijah Lovejoy. He left the pulpit to become a journalist so that he wants more people to reach. He wants to write so that more people will reach. He wants to reach more people because that's why he became a journalist. At that time, there were many slaves. At that time. And so Elijah Lovejoy apparently saw one lynching. You know what's a lynch? Lynching? Different ways of lynching. But one way to put the Negro slave, they put I think in the 1950s, what they did was put a wheel around this person and burn the person up. Elijah Lovejoy's witness won. After he witnessed one, according to the testimony, he said he was committed forever to fight to abolish slavery because he saw the death of one person and he fought against whatever was in those days. People were against him. You know? People were really opposing him. Why are you doing this? You know, he's a white man. And he went strongly to fight against so that no one else should have to go through that. Mob after mob actually hurt him to the one point. He actually made a statement. He says, if by compromise is meant that I should cease from my duty, I cannot make it. I fear God more than I fear men. Crush me if you will, but I shall die at my post. He did. After he said this, 4 days later, he was killed by a mob who was trying to stop him because he tried to stop slavery because these people are dying horrible deaths. Come on, stop it, guys. Don't do it. He was fighting all his heart. 4 days later, he was killed by the mob. So a lot of people were saying, wow, what a waste of life. You know, I mean, the outcome was none of the ruffians were prosecuted. They were not punished in any way. One of the assassins were later elected a mayor. But there was one man was one man who saw the whole thing. He saw how Elijah Lovejoy died for this, or rather, as he was supposed to die. There was one man standing there. You know who he is? Abraham Lincoln. As a young boy, saw the commitment of Elijah Lovejoy to save these slaves. How we perceive the value of an individual will be equal to how much effort we will put in to win them. If we are to be like our Savior, all Christian have the correct perspective. Every child that is here who may be distracted in this service, everyone that may be sitting here is of such infinite value to God. God came to die for us. Amen. A child, a baby in the mother's arms right now is has God's love on that person so much that God has already paid the price of sin. The infinite value of an individual. I hope you will read the thought of the week. Someone cared enough to show you the Lord Jesus Christ and led you to salvation. The Lord says in Ezekiel 3:18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, by his blood will I require at thine hand. A few questions. Number one, do you realize the value of one person? I can tell you, when you realize that, our ambitions mean nothing. Our ambitions will mean nothing. What is my ambition? It will just grow and die in this life. I personally believe it's so important. It's the highest duty of every Christian to win someone to Christ. Because you will see that person forever in eternity. What you and I live for in this life, nothing compared to one soul. And even if it's your whole life, like I mentioned, John Bunyan said, if my entire life, my entire preaching ministry is just to win one soul to Christ, my life would have been well spent. Because the value of that soul is so important to God that if I invested my entire lifetime to reach that one and he gets saved and goes to heaven, John Bunyan said, my life would have been well spent. There are some of you here who have never trusted Christ. Do you realize how important you are to God? Some of you may just say, I'll just come to church, I have nothing else to do. The fact that you're coming is God reaching out to your heart. Amen. Parents, every child of yours is a wonderful individual. Naughty maybe, but you know, in the eyes of God, an infinite value that Jesus died for that individual. Do you realize the lostness of a soul? That the soul will go forever to a place called a lake of fire. No one tells them. What is the Lord telling us to do? Five things. Understanding this, number one, go ye therefore. Matthew 28, verse 20, we know that. Attracting visitation, being with friends, with unbelievers, to win them to the Lord Jesus. Some of us need to begin planning to go to the mission field. The world is coming to an end, or rather the age is coming to an end. We need people to go. We may take care of our earthly needs. We may take care of their earthly needs, but what is more important than to share with them the words of life? Number one, go ye therefore. Number two, pray ye therefore. Oh, Christians, we need to pray for more laborers. We need to stop giving excuses to pray. Jesus didn't ask us to go. Firstly, he asked us to pray for more laborers. You know the example of Jesus after he said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, he sent more laborers in the harvest field, Matthew chapter 10. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 11 verse 1, Jesus went. After Matthew chapter 10, he gives a whole instructions to his disciples to go. He sends them out. In Matthew 11 verse 1, he personally went out too. You know why? If we don't pray, we don't see the heart of God. Because we're not concerned for the things of this life. But when we start praying and realize souls are dying, going to hell forever. The value of a soul, Christian. I'm not saying the life duties are not important. I'm not saying your work is not important. But what about a lost soul? The lost soul sometimes are even blinded by the fact that they're lost. They don't even know they're lost. And yet God says, go. Number one, go ye therefore. Number two, pray ye therefore. How much do you pray? How much tears have you shed for someone this week? We need to pray, for without the power of God on our sharing, there will be no salvation. We need to pray for laborers. We need to pray for people to come out to share the gospel, to follow people up to us. Our goal is not to just have an activity for training. It is to reach someone. Thank God, God has opened up a whole house for Bible study evangelistic. Amen. A brother that is going and visiting. Thank God, God has opened up a whole house in Yishun that he can go. There are 7 unsaved people, I think, in that particular house that he has the privilege of going to at least do some Bible studies with them and hopefully to lead them to Christ. Pray, therefore. We need laborers. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. Watch ye, therefore. The Bible says, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. You know why? Time is short. Do you realize that things are already happening? I shared with you before. The Iranian nuclear plants are being sabotaged. I just read today that Israel is still on his cyber warfare against Iran, trying to disrupt many of his... And many analysts have said that if there really is a war in the Middle East, it will be World War III. It will go straight to Revelation chapter 6, where the white horse will come and the Antichrist comes out after the nuclear war. Christians' time is short. And in Luke 19:13, Jesus says, occupy till I come. Oh, be faithful. Time is short. And in Acts 3:19, if you're here, if you're not a Christian, you know what God says? Repent ye therefore. You know that God loves you so much. You can walk away, Rajani, yala, I know I'm important. So what? You're so important, God died for you. You're so important, the King of the universe came down, died on the cross. You know what? If you know this, repent ye therefore. Some of us as young children, we may be Christians, but we may not fully understand. Can I say this? If you don't understand, understand this. God died for your soul. God died. Jesus died. He's God. He died for our soul. You know what? We need to change our mind about how we live. Repent ye therefore. And be converted that your sins may be blotted out. If you're not a Christian, God values you as an individual, but he absolutely hates the sin in you. Because you know what? You know why God hates the sin? Because it corrupts you in this world. It destroys your future happiness and condemns you to an eternity in hell. That's why he hates that. That's why he loves us. Hey, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Christians are the areas of repentance that God may have indicated for us. A change of mind about the state of our soul, our priorities. And finally, go ye therefore, pray therefore, watch ye therefore, repent ye therefore, and finally be ye therefore followers of God. Christians, there's no more time to play games. We need to be serious about following Christ. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Are we following the Lord's example? If you are, you will be the instruments in reaching others for Christ actively. Is God telling you to? Well, Brother Johnny, I can't talk. That's not me. Give a track, do something for Christ. I can tell you, Brother Johnny, I've got other things in my life that are happening. I know. But the Bible, you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30? He that winneth souls is. You want wisdom for your life? Think about that. Yes, we all have duties in life. We all have to, like fathers, you got to provide for your family. I know that. The Bible is very clear. Some of you are working. You have things in your life that are important. Those duties that God has given to you, fulfill that because that is your duty. But is there someone that God is calling you to reach? Is some time set aside just to win someone too hard? Time is short. The value of a soul is so high, Jesus came himself to seek and to save that which was lost. And after that, he says, all the systems in place. You know what he says? All power is given to me. Go ye therefore. And you realize one thing is to be a united church, as I talked about. You need to be striving together in the ministry. You know what? As a church, if we fight together, we keep together, we stay together. But it's not just that. There are souls out there that absolutely need Christ. Our loved ones need Christ. Oh, Christian, be the example and light that you need to be in the home. Your children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is consistent with the principles of the gospel. And as a family, do all you can to win your loved ones to Christ. A kind word, an encouragement, some things that you can do. Usually for family members, when you reach them, it's usually a marathon. Some people outside, it can be a very quick sharing the gospel, they can say. But sometimes for family members, it could be a marathon. We need to support one another, pray for one another. I'm sure, how many of you have loved ones who are not saved? Go ahead. We need to pray. We need God's help. May our light be shown to these people who are not saved, that they can see the light of the gospel. And Christians, let's encourage one another so that something can be done. And pray, God, I want my parents saved. When there's life, there's hope. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this, whatever that you want to do in our lives. Lord, time is short. Time is short. I'm asking you to burden our hearts amidst all our duties. I'm sure, Lord, many of us are already starting to pray for our parents, started to reach out to our parents in some way. Lord, for those who are already doing it now, I'm asking you to strengthen them to not give in to discouragement, not give in to tiredness, not give in to things that will hinder them to reach their families for Christ. Oh God, they are so important to you that you died for them. And we thank you that we have loved ones around us, but God, we are asking you to give us love in our hearts and light in our lives that we might be able to at least show them the way. Open opportunities, help us to do something, Lord, that would be instrumental in their salvation. We don't know what. Only the Holy Spirit can tell us. God, help us. Lord, I pray for every family whose relationships are not strong. Father in heaven, I pray that the love we have with you might be shown in our love with our loved ones at home. For if we win an argument here and lose their soul, Lord, help us to see the value of the soul that you have died for, Lord. In every family, I pray, if there is pride or things which have happened, help us to see that it is more important for your love to flow through us than for us to win an argument. Oh God, forgive us. Help us to understand why you say I'll leave the 99 and go after that one. Oh Lord, it is truly your amazing grace that saved us. I pray for every family that needs the strength, Lord. I know as a Christian they need, and we need your strength to reach our loved ones for Christ before it's too late. Yes, we have many duties. Give us strength to fulfill those, Lord. But for our loved ones, I pray that you will give us the additional grace. For friends that we have worked along for a long time, colleagues that who has been kind to us, help us to do all we can for them as well. I pray for every child who was from a Christian family. Oh God, I pray that you help them to see it's not because of the faith of mom and dad they're going to heaven. That unless they repent, they shall likewise perish. Oh God, I pray for every one of our children in our church and the visitors. Lord, I pray that you would touch the children's life with the light of the gospel and the love of Christ, that they themselves might repent and change and come after you. Pray for every teenager to realize there's nothing more important in life than to seek the will of God and to do it. I pray for every mom and dad, that, Lord, you will help us burn in our hearts, Lord, this revive our hearts for love
for lost souls. And God, that we might be pure before you. I pray, Lord, it will not be an emotional thing today. But I pray that the truth of the gospel, the truth of the value of one individual, that God, if you would leave 99 to save one, that is the proper estimation of a soul. It is so important to you, and so it must be important to us, Lord. Lord, as your people, help us to understand. I pray for every mom and dad, they will pray night and day for their children to be saved. Oh God, I pray for every family who have someone who is not saved. I pray they will pray night and day, at least in their hearts, traveling on the MRT before they sleep, as they awake, that they would beg you, Lord, to do something to reach them. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. I just want to ask one question. If you are here today, you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. You have never prayed the sinner's prayer. You have never understood how much Jesus loves you. Can I ask you to consider that Jesus died already on the cross for your sins, and that he wants you to come to him so that he can save your soul? We are not inviting you to join the church. We are inviting you to Christ, the only one that can save you. Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, I'm not sure. I've attended this church many times. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. No one looking around. Would you be honest and say, Brother Johnny, I'm not sure. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Would you put up your hand? I'm not sure. I'm going to heaven. And I'm praying that God, that you be honest with yourself, because the final one that will lose out in this is yourself. But if you are sure, then what is your next step in obedience? Is it your family members that you need to pray for? Lord, as we close, we ask you to burn this deep truth in our lives. Help us to realize the infinite value of a soul. Help us to understand that our parents and our loved ones need to see Christ. It could be that we need to redo things, Lord. It could be that we need to surrender. It could be that we may need to apologize. It could be that we need to just be obedient, Lord, to make things right. But God, I'm asking you from heaven today to start doing works in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Bless everyone who have responded in some way in their hearts, not emotionally. The Father, I pray that only the Holy Spirit can make this decision stick. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Teach us to love with all our hearts, and teach us, Lord, to be like our Savior, who would leave the 99 and go after that one. Lord, put the name of that one in our lives so that we can reach them for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. As we close, we ask you to bless everyone, even as they go back to their different places. May the love of Christ be in their hearts. May the peace of the Holy Spirit and the love of God overwhelm them this week as they walk in love and live the life of a Christian. May souls be attracted to their lives today. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we finish at 12:30. Amen. So, well, just remember the value of soul and pray for your loved ones. All right. We'll dismiss our parents. We'll meet upstairs in about 5 to 10 minutes, okay? Time, all right, for just a quick meeting.